So, how many of you have started watching The Great British Bake Off? Yeah, I know there's someone in our house that has. And some of you might enjoy other cooking programs. I've put down here MasterChef, Saturday Kitchen. I had to Google them because I'm not really a foodie, I can tell you that. And I also need to let you know I'm no Mary Berry or Paul Hollywood or Rick Stein or anything like that in the kitchen. I'm quite good at warming things up. That's about my skill set. But this morning, for this morning's service, I thought I'd write some recipes because I thought that's probably as good as I can get. Holiday, cooking together at home, people, don't get too excited. I think you probably ought to see the recipes before you think you're going to use them and inflict them on other people. The only thing is, with my cooking ability, I might have missed something out. So this is where I need a little bit of help. So, Mark, can we have a look at the first one? Oh, do I get a picture? Do we go? Ah, that's it, you see. I like Toad in the Hole. Who else likes Toad in the Hole? Yeah, I do. Okay, so I thought, yeah, that's what I need. So I'd need some flour, some eggs, some salt, milk, cooking oil. That's it, isn't it?
No.
What? No.
Toad.
Yeah, sausages. Ah, I knew there was something missing. Ah, right, okay. So you've had your main course. I like rice pudding. So should we have a look at rice pudding? Ah, yeah, so I thought we'll need some rice, some butter, sugar, cinnamon, maybe some vanilla. Ah, oh, that'd be all right, wouldn't it? No? Oh, come on. I've got the... What's wrong with that one, then?
Milk.
Not doing well, am I? So first one, sausages, missed out. Next one, milk. Okay. Sometimes when I get in from work, it's a bit late and I can't be bothered to cook. So I know what, I'll do an omelette. Because you can't go wrong with an omelette, could you? Well, you couldn't. Maybe I could. So yeah, what have I got? Okay. So I've got cheese. Yeah, I've got my cheese. Got my milk. Got my herbs. All right, that's it. Got it all together. Yeah?
No.
No. Come on, Susan. You keep saying no to all my recipes. I'm sure it's the vibes from Pete. He's going, no, no, no. He don't have to cook. That's my cooking level, you see. I mean, that's what it is, the pictures. Yeah, eggs. Yeah, really main ingredient there, isn't it? Okay. What we got next weekend, Maureen?
I don't know.
We don't know, okay. Do we know what...
Pasta.
Pasta, it involves pasta. So I thought maybe I could give you some ideas for next weekend if it involves pasta. So I wrote it down, spaghetti bolognese. You can't get that wrong, can you? So I've got minced beef, tomatoes, onions, herbs, salt, parmesan cheese.
Pasta?
Pasta, yeah, spaghetti. Oh yeah, okay, but that's fine. I think you've got the gist of what's going on here. I keep missing something out. If I tried to cook, most of these would go horribly wrong. They just wouldn't be the same. The ingredient I've missed out is the main one, isn't it? You know, Toad in the Hole, no sausages, a bit bland, isn't it? Rice pudding without any milk would be a bit solid, a bit chewy. Oh, yeah. Omelette with no eggs, yeah. Missing ingredient. Well, later on, we're going to be reading from the book of Corinthians, where Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, advising them that there's one vital ingredient in their Christian life, so he was telling us, that we need above all else, and that is love. If you were here last week, well, if you weren't, you can go and listen on the church website, go back and listen to it. Kath introduced our theme, the theme of love, and spoke from 1 Corinthians 13. Where Paul said, we may have everything else, just as the believers in Corinth believe they had. It says they said they had faith to move mountains, wonderful good works, the ability to speak in tongues, a good knowledge of the Bible, great prayer life. But Paul says, if we have not love, then it doesn't mean anything, doesn't count for anything. So, and before the last song, I mentioned that thought about what is love. And I thought we could think a little bit about it. And I wasn't sure how many young people would be here today. And I don't want to just focus on Freya and say, what is love, and embarrass her. So I found a clip on YouTube to think about what children think love is all about. Because children tell you the truth, don't you? You ask them a simple question and they just say it as it is. Let's think what children think about love.
What is love?
Isn't that in a song?
What is love?
No idea.
I do not. I don't know too much about it.
Love means, like, you love someone,
love something,
love them.
You fall in love with another person.
What is love?
The things that you, like, love people.
Love is,
like, a way of saying,
I love you.
Huh?
I love you.
A what?
I love you, is what
he's
saying.
Oh, I love you?
Yeah.
Aw, thank you. But, what is love?
It's where you care about somebody and you live with them and you just love them. Like your boyfriend or your mom or dad.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Love means when I'm be nice and not mean and...
You're interested in a person?
It's a feeling of happiness.
It's a sign of happiness.
Love is feeling.
Feeling. A good feeling.
A warm feeling.
It's a feeling and kind of a taste.
Where in your body do you feel love?
Mostly to the right, but sometimes the left.
In your heart.
Hot.
My feet.
What is love?
Love is something that everyone has, but they still have to find.
Sometimes you can get mad.
Sometimes feels uncomfortable.
It's an emotion.
A heartbeat.
Love smells like flowers.
Love feels like butterflies.
It could mean different things, like you could, like, love your family.
Who's the people that you love?
My mom.
What is love?
That's what is love.
What is love?
I don't know.
I don't know love.
Love is a thing that you like.
It's when you like somebody.
You like someone.
When people like each other.
A lot.
A lot.
Like, a lot, a lot.
When two people
really
like each other.
So much.
If you like someone and you want to marry them.
Love is when you get married.
You get married.
If you have, like, a good relationship.
What is love?
A lion.
A fire.
What is love?
Angel.
To me, love is disgusting.
Love is...
Not being fake. When two people find each other in the world, caring for someone.
Caring about someone with your whole heart.
That you can trust.
Someone you trust.
It's a passion thing.
When you're really happy.
Mushy-gushy.
Kissing somebody and hugging somebody.
When you hug someone.
Two people kiss.
Kissing.
Kissing, kissing, kissing.
Love?
Love
is like...
What is that?
This straws.
Straws?
Well, there you are. That's all what love is. That's love is straws. It's on the left or it's on the right. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, yeah, love. It's... huge topic, isn't it? Love, according to the dictionary, an intense feeling, deep affection. It's something that comes from within. It's instinctive, it's natural, it's spontaneous. If you're thinking to get married, do you plan your love in little boxes, or as Karen would say, you probably do it on a spreadsheet or something like that, and you have your little charts, but sometimes love is just spontaneous and you do something. Even if you're an unspontaneous person like me and writes everything down and whatever. So this morning we're going to explore about what love is, but we're going to look at it from a biblical point of view rather than lovey-dovey, kissy-kissy, as they said on there, or whatever. So I'm hoping that you're going to have a good imagination. I'm going to do a few activities. Please bear with me at the end. You can just put the bloke's an idiot or whatever and just forget this morning ever happened. Sometimes I find that if you do an illustration or something, it's something that you remember. So we're going to do a few illustrations. I always think of Susan at this point, where she says about the jelly baby man. We can never remember his name, but what we do know is that he gave an illustration about God's love using jelly babies and whatever. And we remember the illustration and that God loves us and he pours his spirit on us, whatever. I'm hoping that you might actually remember some of my illustrations. They're not as good as the jelly baby man, but please just bear with me. So it does get a bit messy, so I'm hoping that the... Right. So, yes, that is shaving foam. Don't worry. So this is where I think you might think I'm going to lose the plot. So what I want to think about is that, is shaving foam like love? Let's see how we get on. Okay. Can you see the shaving foam in here?
No.
What about love that's within us? Can you actually see it? No. Okay, so that's a good start, isn't it? About we can't see it within us. The only way that we can see love is in action, when it actually comes out. So let's start off, shall we? So let's have a look, see how it goes. I'm going to see if we can... I practice this at home, believe it or not. So here we go. This love just keeps on coming out. Ooh. Might have to give it another shake. Okay. We knew that the love or the shaving foam was in the can, but we couldn't see it. You know, if you want to have a good shave, you need to let the shaving foam come out. You've got to let it out. And like this, it just keeps coming and coming and coming. This is working better than I thought, you know. Heard of thought. You know, you compare the two. This love that's within us just keeps coming out and coming out and coming out. You can't see it, but it just keeps coming out. It's no good if we keep it within us. Oh look, it just keeps on coming. Right, put that down there. I think you've got the gist by this point. You know, the glass couldn't contain all of the shaving foam. It was totally overflowing. And so I just want to follow that analogy just a bit further. The thing about shaving is, the shaving is better if you use the shaving foam. Gents, I won't ask Nick because he's got a beard, so I meant that's probably not the right person to ask. But, you know, if you don't put the shaving foam on and you get your razor out and you start shaving, what happens? You get nicks, cuts, scratches and whatever. But if you put the cream on, it makes it a lot easier. It's a lot smoother. And isn't that the same with life? If we let love out of our life, love around to those that we meet, love makes life much smoother. If I kept on squirting with that can, funny enough, it will become empty. It needs to be refilled to be used. But you know, with God, he doesn't fill us with his love and then say, right, that's it, you've used it all up for the day. If God gives his spirit to us and we allow him to be in us, what does he do? He keeps filling us and filling us and filling us. So we don't come empty, not like this will be eventually, but we can keep on going, sharing, okay, our love over everywhere, to everyone. Kath stole my bit, this next bit last week, or maybe I've been listening a little bit and prepared. And that says, in our church mission statement, it says, we want Jesus to be central in our fellowship, and we always endeavour to lift him high so that everyone may see him in all that we say and do. And it says, we will model our fellowship on the early church, having those characteristics that are found in the Acts of Apostles, particularly Acts 2, 42 to 47. It says, to this end, we will strive to be a loving fellowship. That's the first bit, isn't it? I won't quiz you too much about the other bits. It says a worshipping fellowship, learning fellowship, evangelistic fellowship, spirit-filled fellowship. The first point, isn't it? A loving fellowship. We want to have love within us. We're going to look at a few attributes a little later on. So that was really a sort of bit of a recap on last week. And the new series that we're looking at over the next few weeks is looking at love, as I said, from a biblical point of view. So Paul wrote to the churches in Corinth around 55 AD. He'd spent some time with the church. He'd returned home. And he'd heard that people in the church were quarrelling. And he wrote this letter to encourage them, to encourage them to genuinely love one another. And this morning, I just want to read just a couple of verses from that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, it's verses 4 to 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It isn't proud. It doesn't dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So we're going to look at those first two attributes that Paul has written about there now. And it says, love is patient. So I read this story and I thought I'd share it with you this morning. It's about a teacher who was helping out one of her reception class put on his wellies. You can almost sense how this is going to go, can't you? So she pulled and she pushed, but the boots just didn't want to go on. And when the second boot was finally on, wow. And then the boy looked up and went, but miss, they're on the wrong feet. She looked down and, yep, they were on the wrong feet. It wasn't a lot easier pulling the wellies off, but they were struggling and eventually managed to pull the wellies off. She kept her cool and said, right, let's put them back on again. And they worked together, pushing the wellies back on. This time on the right feet. And once the boots were on, the little boy announced, miss, they're not my boots. The teacher bit her tongue without staring straight in his face. Why didn't you say so? Just like she wanted to. And once again, they went through the palaver and she tried to pull off the ill-fitting boots and she struggled and she managed to get them off. Oh dear. And once the boots were off, the boy said, no, they're not my boots. They're my brother's boots. But my mum made me wear them. At this point, the teacher didn't know whether she should laugh or cry. But she mustered up the grace to wrestle with the boots and put them on again. So when the boots were on for the third time, she said, right then, okay, so where are your mittens? And the boy said, I stuffed them in the toes of my boots. I'm not sure whether that's true or whether it's not, but it sort of fits in with the theme of patience. I'm not quite sure how I would have dealt with that. I really don't know how our daughter copes with 30-year-1 children, but we're all made slightly different. As we think about patience this morning, we're not really thinking about the patience that you need when the ketchup won't come out of the bottle and you're sitting there and squeezing it, and then what happens? It goes and it all comes out at once or goes everywhere. No. We're not thinking about the patience that has to do with perseverance or endurance. Like waiting for a hospital appointment for weeks or months on end. Or waiting for the bus that doesn't come. Or the train. Or we're not even thinking about the patience that we often talk about in church. The patience that was required when we wait on the Lord. When God's timetable's different. You know, when we say, God, I want you to answer this prayer now. And then God has a different time scale. Our theme this morning is about love and the patience that we have, I guess, with other people, and how do we relate to them. I don't know about you, do you have a long or a short fuse? I mean, I've got another illustration, and you know, I think we're a bit like elastic bands, aren't we? You know, sometimes we go through life and it just stretches and stretches and stretches, and some of us are like this shape elastic band, and some people are like this shape elastic band, and some of us have more patience and elasticity than others. Where's my other pen? I practiced this in the week and it hurts on your fingers, funny enough. So let's... This one will do. Right, so what sort of things do you happen during the week that sort of tries our patience?
Roadworks,
yeah. You set off and you think, I'm going to work and everything's fine. And then, oh my goodness, roadworks. Oh dear, what happens? I mean, this is Emily, so she probably just gets stretched a little bit or whatever. Any other things that you have problems with during the week?
Traffic lights and roadworks when there's no
roadworks. Yeah, that's right. You're going along and you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh, those traffic lights, but there's nobody working. Why are they there? Oh, my goodness. Oh, that stretches you, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. Any others?
Applying to one thing one day and the other thing the next.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You know, you've been busily working. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sales calls, yeah. These people that just seem to waste our time. Yeah, gets worse and worse, isn't it?
Traffic,
yeah. Sitting in traffic in a queue. You know, sitting there for hours on end. Oh, yeah. Oh, this one's not going to go, is it? Oh, what happens? We suddenly break. Hope I didn't get your mic. We suddenly break down. We just suddenly snap these things. They're only little things, but they sort of mount up, don't they? I've got one, the printer at home. Some days it works and some days it doesn't. Why? Why is it when you need it printed now, it chooses that I'm not going to talk to your laptop. I'm not going to talk to your laptop. And the next time you switch it on, because you've had to go out without what you want, it happily churns out all the stuff that you asked for. Oh, isn't that? Life sort of, patience. There's a couple of scriptures. Let's look at that this morning. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, that's you and I, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When we think about Jesus and his life on earth, did we see him sort of getting wound up? I mean, I just think he chose these 12 people, these disciples that were going to take the church forward. And he'd shared all his knowledge. They'd lived with him. They saw how he acted, how he did things. Oh, blimey, were they dense? Oh, could you imagine, you know, the things that they come out with? Don't you think, I would say, why don't you get it? But Jesus didn't, did he? He had patience and told them again and again. He stuck with them. He didn't give up on them thinking, oh my goodness, I made the wrong choice. I'm going to get some more disciples because the first ones weren't any good. No. He had patience for them. And it's the same with you and with me. Even when we don't get our own way, we want to do our own thing, think we know best, God is there. So when it comes to love and being patient, knowing how we should be patient with others, the question is not what or why, but how. And that is by having God's love within us, God's help within us. There's no way that we can exhibit godly patience in our own strength and our own efforts. We have to have God and his Holy Spirit within us, within our lives. Sometimes we have the wrong expectations and our interactions go the wrong way. Sometimes we make the wrong choices. How many of you can relate to this? You buy someone a present, say me for Christmas, and on the pack it says easy to assemble, some assembly required, or even a flat pack bit of furniture, and they have about 6 boxes and they say, oh, it's ever so easy, isn't it? Or if you're a little bit older like me, when your car didn't work, you went and got your Haynes manual and it says, number one, do this. And you think, what on earth are they on about? And then the next bit, which is easy, they give in about 10 different bits. Undo this, undo this, do this, do this. And you just think, yeah. Why didn't it just say on the packet, this is going to take loads of time? This will not look like anything that's on the packaging. You'd feel totally different afterwards if you bought it knowing that it was going to take 10 hours to build, that your frustrations will be stretched to the limit. Isn't that the same with each one of us? When we see other people, we ask them to do a task and they do it slightly differently to the way that you would do it. And then, oh, why didn't they do it like this? When actually it could get the same result. We jump to conclusions and judgments without the necessary understanding. If we had all the facts, we probably wouldn't get so upset. You know, when you agree to meet someone, I'll meet you at 8, and it's 8:15 or 8:20. And when they turn up, you think, where have you been? And you launch in with all of the attack mode. Maybe it's better just to say, oh, you're a few minutes late, and then you hear that they've had a puncture or something's gone wrong or whatever. It's then up to us to decide how we react. Do we use harsh or condemning words or actions? And if we do, just like that elastic, someone may get hurt. Or we can choose to be patient with their imperfections. We're not all perfect. So that's just the first bit about if we have God's love within us, he helps us in those, you know, to share love with others. How do we act with other people? I've got another story for you. One day, a minister who was a very kind man, as we've moved on to love is kind, thinking about this nice minister. He loved to serve others and noticed a young boy trying to press a doorbell on the house across the street. Because the little boy was so little and the doorbell was so high, he couldn't quite reach it and he was jumping, trying to press it. After watching the boy's efforts for a moment, the minister crossed the street, walked up behind the young boy and asked if he could help him with ringing the bell. The little boy grinned and went, "Yes, please, yes, please." The minister gave the doorbell a really good ring. Bling! And then crouched down to the child's level and said, "And now, what else can I do for you?" The little boy answered, "Run like me and hide." Right, okay. I don't suggest you go around playing knock and run. But again, one of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness. Let me remind you again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The passage points to all these positive effects that the Spirit of God has working in us if we allow him to. This kindness, like patience that I spoke on earlier, will develop. But before we get on to kindness, we're going to think of the opposite. Now, I need a volunteer for this next bit. You will not get covered in shaving foam. You will not be... It's not a difficult one. It's just a very simple task. Honest. Have I got a volunteer? Oh, Mark. Well done. Right. So, this is our heart. This is where Mark starts looking worried. I'll give you some toothpaste. Okay. So, I'm going to ask you about what are the things that we can do to be unkind. And for everything that you think of, we're going to put a little splodge on this heart. It's a nice little squodge of toothpaste. I told you, it's not going to be difficult, is it? So, what things happen in life? You've all gone quiet. Yeah? With kindness, what can we think of? Do we see bullying in the world? Okay, I've got a few. Oh, dear. Yeah. That's all right. He said, "Right, okay." Anything else that we see in life?
Criticism.
Yeah. Okay.
Not holding the lift door for someone.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What about gossip? People that gossip. It's not very kind, is it?
Selfishness.
Oh, that's all right. Mm. Anything else?
Cruelty.
Hating.
Yeah. Hating. These aren't very nice things, are they? These are things that could be within our heart that we don't really want. And when we've said it or done it, sometimes we think, "Oh, wish I hadn't have done that." Well, maybe you don't because you don't do these things. But if we were to do them, you think, "Oh, so here, Mark.
Here's mine. Can you put that back in?" I don't know, I just thought.
Oh, just all these things that we've done wrong, these horrible things.
No, not really.
All right, thanks. Thank you. Yeah, these hurtful things, these things, we can't put them back, can we? The things that go on in our lives. The impressions that we leave with other people, the words that we say, the actions. These people can see us, the impressions that we give, what they see, what they hear. Let's flip it the other way. If people remember the bad things, then what happens if it's kindness that's within our hearts? People will see and remember the kind things. It'll have a positive effect. It will have an encouraging effect. The online dictionary says, being kind is having and showing a gentle nature, a desire to help others, wanting and liking to do good things and bring happiness to others. Kindness is love in action. It's not just having love in here. It's not like the shaving foam, love coming out and then just being a nice little feeling. It's actually doing something about it. As we're in church, I always think it's quite good to have an example. And Jesus was a good example, wasn't it? Kindness. What happened? His first miracle. He went to a wedding. They were having a whoopee time, partying away, and then what happens? The wine runs out. And Jesus went and did that first miracle, turned the water into wine. Those people were saved embarrassment because of what he did. Jesus, when he went about, would confront people with leprosy. He'd go up, he'd meet them, he'd interact with them, he showed them kindness. People who are outcasts. The woman at the well, another outcast, she was at the well because that was the only time she could go, because no one else was there. And yet Jesus showed kindness. He went up to her and met her and dealt with her need. I'm sure you all know the story of the Good Samaritan. If you don't, look it up. It's in John chapter 10. At the end of the parable, Jesus said to the man, which of these three men do you think was the neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law said the one who had shown mercy on him. I wonder, how often are we like the first two people in the story? The first two people, same situation. They saw a person in need, and yet they just went past. I want to keep my distance. I'm curious, but I want to not get involved. And yet the Good Samaritan, same situation. He showed kindness. He saw the injured man. He bound his wounds. He sympathised. He felt pity. He took him to the place where he could rest and said, if there's any more cost, I will pay the bill. He took kindness, love, into action. All those people in the story could have been busy. They were on their way. It says that the man was amongst thieves, so obviously you probably wouldn't want to hang around in that part or on that stretch of the road. But the Good Samaritan took time out. And if we're going to learn to be kind and have kindness within us, we must be willing that sometimes we're going to get interrupted. We might need to take some risks. We need to get involved. We might have to make a sacrifice. It might cost something. So, as you leave here today, think about what things you could do to show kindness. We've talked about maybe hold the door open for someone. Could be very simple. Give them a smile. Visit an elderly person. Pick the phone up. Chat to someone. We might not see the results, but when we act kindly, authentic love calls us to do something. We don't know what the outcome will be. So there we are this morning. Two attributes of love. Love is patient. Do we have that patience? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Ask God to fill us and give us patience if we are stressed. and kindness, that bit. Let's have the opportunity to be kind and reflect God's love in this world. I'm going to ask Chris now to come and lead us in some prayers.
Good morning, everyone, and good to see you all again. And yes, to answer your question, we had a lovely time on holiday, but it's nice to be back and to see you all again. Let's pray. We thank you, Jesus, that you have made the invisible God visible. You are patient. You are kind. Your plan for salvation is immensely patient. From before the creation of heaven and earth until the last day, you've been working and will work to save us and bring human beings into loving relationship with you. Through century after century, you have been patient. Patient with Abraham, patient with Isaac, patient with Jacob, patient with Moses, patient with the people of Israel, patient with Saul, patient with David, patiently waiting for the right time for Jesus to be born. You are not slow, but you are patient. You want everyone to be saved. But you will not force us, you will not rush us. You are prepared to wait for each of us to recognize you and submit to you from our free choice, or even to reject you. Jesus, you demonstrate your patience with your disciples, who were slow to believe and had little faith. We become aware of your patience with us. As you reflect, as I reflect, on the number of times that God has had to wait for me, for you, and forgive me and you. When we get things wrong, when we take wrong turns. You do not turn your back on us, drum your fingers, or stamp your foot, but you reach out your hand again and again, inviting us to follow you. You show us the incomparable riches of your grace, expressed in your kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus, you are kind to the outcast, the despised, and the downtrodden. You are even kind to those who persecuted and rejected you. You have commanded us to love one another as you have loved us. That includes being patient and kind. Lord, help us not to show contempt for the riches of your kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that your kindness is intended to lead us to repentance. We are kind until our patience runs out. Your patience and kindness is made possible in us through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We can choose not to act on our impatience and unkind thoughts, but only you can birth true patience and kindness in us. We ask you to bear the fruit of your Spirit in us. We therefore ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, enable us to bear with one another in love. Enable us to be patient with those who misunderstand us, those who oppose us, those who resent us, those who just don't get us, and those who dislike us. We want to be more like you, Lord. Help us not only to be kind to those who are kind to us, but also to those who are unkind. As we explore what true love is, help us more and more to love not in words and speech, but in action and in truth. Amen.